Inside these walls, the journey begins.
Inside these walls, the foundations are set.
Inside these walls, we seek victory.
It has been 207 days since the Broncos walked off the field in 2016, and we are walking in to the 2017 season. Welcome in, everybody, to the Broncos Training Camp Daily. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. And Phil, 3,792 of our closest friends joined us out here on the berm today for the first day of training camp. The excitement was palpable, wasn't it? You could feel it in the air.
Yeah, a lot of energy out there this morning. We saw the guys come out of the weight room, just push open those doors, head out onto the practice fields. We saw head coach Vance Joseph, his very first training camp practice, excited to get out onto the field. And like you mentioned, Matt, those fans really added a lot of energy. We saw Von Miller dancing around out there. And in general, it was just good to see the guys back out there in their uniforms with their helmets on.
Usually you think day one, we're just going to ease into things, take it a little slow. Not the case today. Plenty of headlines here at Broncos training camp. The biggest, of course, Devontae Booker going down with a wrist injury. Derek Wolfe out with a stomach bug, so he wasn't here on day one. And DeMarcus Walker going out with a heat ailment. You'd think a guy from Florida State, as Coach Joseph mentioned, maybe a little bit more acclimated, but he did take some getting used to. This is a more human than we're used to seeing out here in Denver. But what stood out to you the most as far as the headlines?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. Not funny, but, Joseph joked about it afterward. Hey, kid from Florida State from the South.
Right.
I thought he'd be able to cut it. It was only in the mid-70s here in Denver this morning. But, Derek Wolfe, coach, said that he called trainers around 2:30 or so last night, said he wasn't feeling right. So they just said, hey, stay home sick. You don't need to come in today. But the big thing is Devontae Booker. They said that happened during OTA. Thought it was just a football nick. Turns out that it's a fracture, and he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Going to have surgery on Friday. And, coach said that he could play with that, but his bone, there's a risk that it might die. His bone might actually die. So for his future, they're going to go ahead and do the surgery. And it's a loss to that backfield, quite frankly.
For sure. It's going to give some other guys a chance to step up. Though guys like Juwan Thompson, D'Angelo Henderson, these guys are going to get a chance in the next couple of days to prove themselves. However, as Coach Joseph mentioned today, the approach to that position, not going to change.
Guys, nothing changes. We're in camp. We've got five guys working there. Nothing changes, I feel bad for Book because he's put so much work in. He's ready to make a push, he had a great spring. So, but outside of that, nothing changes for us.
For a kid to work hard, You see the difference between year one and year two. You see the big jump. You see he's more concentrated. He's a lot more focused. He's putting time in the playbook. And then just to have a little setback like that, it's definitely disappointing for him. But, we got a job to do out there, and like I said, when he come back, his spot will definitely be warm and ready for him.
It was an unfortunate event. Hopefully he recovers quick because he's a high talent. We need him.
What does that mean for you?
Just more reps, more opportunity. I'm trying to maximize everything I get and see what happens.
So you heard it there. The reps are going to be crucial. Each single rep throughout training camp, very important for those guys. It's also going to be very important for the quarterbacks to value each single rep. Of course, we're talking about the QB battle. Phil, what did you see today from Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian?
It was an interesting approach to day one of training camp. I thought they did a lot of red zone work. A nice idea because it saves the guys' legs, but that means for the quarterbacks, everything's a little bit tighter, and I thought we saw a little bit of that today. They had to knock the rust off the first few minutes of practice, I thought. But once they got going, I think head coach called it a Vance Joseph called it a productive day, but the players didn't seem too happy with their performance.
With regards to Lynch, he talked about being comfortable. Did you see that out there from him?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he had the one play where he threw it in the end zone to C.J. Anderson, caught it, ran down there, showed off a little bit more of his personality. I thought each quarterback made some throws that they liked. Some of them they would like to have back, but it's day one of camp. You don't want to read too much into it.
Day one of camp, both quarterbacks hitting the podium today, and Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch kind of happy, kind of not about their performance, but as Phil mentioned, it's a long training camp.
For me, it's pretty easy. I just want to be better than I was yesterday, so hopefully the number 13 that rolls out of the locker room tomorrow is better than the slappy that rolled out here today. So that's really all I'm trying to do, and you know, if I can make the big things small, which I've tried to do since I got drafted, hopefully things work out.
Honestly, it feels night and day. I feel way more comfortable out there with those guys. I can kind of be myself a little bit more. Last year, I just felt like I was kind of tiptoeing away, trying to learn things and figure everything out at once instead of just sitting back and getting a plan and kind of sticking to it. But now I think I've gotten a little bit more comfortable, and I've kind of found a regimen to stick to and a plan to stick to, and it's worked pretty well, and I feel like through OTAs and even through the first day, I've just continually got better every day.
All right, so a lot of training camp left for both Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. They're going to be striving for greatness every day. But a man who knows greatness very well on these football fields, sitting next to me to my left, Steve Atwater, our own Broncos insider. Welcome to Broncos Training Camp Daily.
Thank you very much, Matt, and I'm happy to be here, happy to be a part of the team.
What's it feel like to be back in Colorado? Because I know this is a special place for you.
Yeah, it feels amazing. I'll tell you what, I'm happy. My family is happy. My wife is happy, children, and I'm happy to receive the love that all the fans and the Broncos organization has shown to me.
Steve knows greatness. That is for a fact. So it's only fitting that he comes up with the Atwater A-List every single day here at Broncos training camp. He's going to be talking about the players that he sees going forward that have the potential for greatness. And Steve, we start on the offensive side of the football. Who do you got?
Okay, starting off on the offense, I have C.J. Anderson on my A-List, running back. C.J. Anderson last year was coming off an injury after the seventh game of the season. He had a knee injury, so he went on injured reserve. Looking at him today, he caught a touchdown pass from Paxton Lynch in the end zone. He looked very confident when he was running and making cuts on the knee. So I think he's back to his pre-surgery form. And also he made a comment that he's in a hoodie and he doesn't really like being in a hoodie. He's ready to get to the pads as soon as possible. So Sunday we'll see how he does with the pads on.
When you see a running back like that in your day coming at you, what kind of challenges does he pose?
Well, lots of challenges. One, he's low to the ground and has a very strong center of gravity. He's very, very strong in his legs. And he's also very elusive. So you have to be under control when you're tackling a guy like CJ, or he'll make you miss and he can run you over. So he poses a double threat to defenses.
On the defensive side of the ball now, Steve, the secondary. The group that you know the best, who do we have?
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, I thought the entire secondary had a great day, specifically Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., but the A-lister for today is cornerback Bradley Roby. Bradley Roby broke up a pass that was intended for Demaryius Thomas. He also mentioned that he's looking forward to competing with and continue to learn from those two great cornerbacks, Chris Harris and Aqib Talib. So I'm looking forward to him doing great things, and he had a great practice today.
When you see a group like that, Harris, Talib, Roby, Ward, Stewart, all these guys, when you have a secondary like that, a deep secondary, what does that do for the rest of the defense?
Oh, I think it gives them a lot of confidence, especially when it's a blitz called and guys know that they can pin their ears back and know that they have a little bit of time, more time to get to the ball, to the passer, knowing that their secondary can cover a little bit longer.
Well, Steve, we thank you for the A-List today. If you want to see more of Steve or hear more of Steve every single day, of course, he's going to be on the Orange and Blue Radio 760 and the iHeart Media app. Steve, that's from 1 to 3, correct?
1 to 3 every day.
Perfect. And, of course, Steve will be back here tomorrow with another edition of the A-List. Steve, one of the many famous faces, of course, that we see around Broncos training camp every single day. And our own Phil Milani caught up with one of those famous faces, NFL Network's Mike Silver, here to talk about the national perspective for the Broncos going forward.
Typical first day out there, what'd you see?
I mean, I love coming to Broncos training camp. I do miss Greeley. I miss Mooses and all that. It's interesting. You know, what I would love to see, and more important, what VJ and Mike McCoy and everybody else would love to see is real separation at the quarterback spot. One guy looking amazing, so it's an easy decision. I don't know that it's going to go that way for them, at least early on. But, you know, you see two quarterbacks competing. You see, a rookie offensive lineman who is getting thrown into drills against one of the great pass rushers I've ever seen, Von Miller. I mean, on one level, you got to be like, okay, great, my first day of work, and I'm going against Von Miller. On another level, you're like, I don't ever have to play him in a game. This is awesome. So, that's fun just to see Von.
I know you had a chance to sit down with VJ. Did he establish his identity out there already on day one, you think?
Yeah. He was funny with us. He said, what I miss is the coaching, and I wanted to go coach somebody, and I was looking for a group to go to. I went to the DBs for a while, but Joe had him. And so James Palmer, my colleague, said, well, where'd you stand? He said, well, I just kind of went in the middle. So it is an adjustment, but sometimes when really talented coordinators who are very brainy and accomplished become head coaches, you're not sure how the head coach part is going to be. I would say in this case with Vance, he's also a great head coaching prospect as a head coach. Like, he has that leadership, big picture personality. So to me, it's exciting to see what might happen, but he didn't go to an easy situation. You've got John Elway, who's told us yesterday, reminded us he doesn't believe in windows and wants to be good every game, every year, and is very involved. And obviously you'd rather have that than, go to some team that doesn't have a chance, but it's not like he went to the no pressure situation.
From a national perspective, what are the expectations for this team?
Well, I still have high expectations. Like, to me, the vivid memory of, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and company just hijacking a postseason and swallowing up Tom Brady and Cam Newton is very immediate. So I know last year was tough. It's a tough division. But I still think, with a defense that is potentially on that level and with the chance to get better on offense, I think they are one of the teams that are in the mix. Unfortunately, the Raiders are certainly another, and Kansas City's, right there. And I'm not one of these, the Chargers are the sneaky talent team that's waiting to blow up, but I don't think they're bad either. So, it's going to be a tough path, but if they can get through that path and still be standing and in the playoffs, then watch out.
Last one for you here. You come to Denver every so often. What do you like to do outside of here?
Wow. Well, what don't I like to do in Denver? Well, I'll tell you what. My new favorite thing to do in Denver is go to my colleague James Palmer's house and eat home-cooked Mexican food by his lovely wife, Megan, because that was an incredible experience. I actually slept over a couple of nights. A mint on the pillow, fresh guacamole. It's unbelievable. And then I would say my other favorite thing to do in Denver, besides come out here and talk to you guys in Broncoland, is go to Red Rocks. I got to see a concert there for the first time a couple months ago with my boss, who ordered me to. It was awesome. It was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Joe Walsh opening. And we had a lightning delay. It was amazing. Just an incredible experience. So thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. We all have to head over to the Palmer's house sometime.
Yeah, oh, believe me. It's worth the price of admission, which for me was $0.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, it certainly sounds like James Palmer's house is the place to be in Denver. I myself will need to get a reservation at some point, but we thank Mike Silver and Phil Milani for that great interview. And also a man who needs no reservations anytime he's in Denver, Andrew Mason, because of that Broncos knowledge. Mace, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, let's talk about the position battles, because this is what you're going to be focusing on all training camp long. And day one, there's not really much else to talk about, right, as far as the position battles between the quarterbacks, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian. What did you see that you liked from these guys? I know the reviews, by their own admission, were a little mixed.
Yeah, and this was going to be a tough day for them, just considering the fact that they were doing mostly red zone work. So you've got a compressed field, and when you're going up against the no-fly zone in the red zone, it's going to be very difficult. You're facing Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby, in press man coverage. It's going to be difficult, and there were some struggles. So not only did you have the rust of not practicing for the last few weeks, something Trevor Siemian alluded to at his post-practice press conference. You had the fact that you were going up against those guys, and they made life difficult for Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. Siemian in particular really struggled early, although it seemed like he bounced back and settled down later on. Paxton Lynch overshot some guys early, but then really got into a nice groove, had a really nice touchdown pass to C.J. Anderson, finding him in the back of the end zone, and really pushed the ball downfield when he had the chances to do so. So I thought, on the whole, a pretty good day for Paxton Lynch. Siemian, after some early struggles, found his footing as practice went on. It wasn't a day where I think either one of them moved far ahead of the other. So if you're looking for a day to provide separation between the two, I don't think today was it.
I want to touch on Paxton really quick, because I thought it was interesting that during his press conference he alluded to the fact that he's more comfortable. And you could see it out there on the field at times, mm-hmm. his celebration with C.J. Anderson yeah. after he threw that beautiful ball. What did you get a sense for that comfort level that he had out there today?
Absolutely. I mean, he looks much more in a groove. I think the comfort level in the offense, this offense being more tailored to his skill set, helps. I think the aforementioned C.J. Anderson, I think someone like him is helping him. He pointed out that Anderson is like another quarterback out there, and that's key. C.J. Anderson's one of the few people who has a real understanding of this offense from previous years, because, of course, this is very similar to the offense that was run earlier in the decade, and Anderson was around for this offense when Adam Gase was running it in 2013 and 2014, so he's able to be with Paxton Lynch and kind of point out some things to him, and that's why Paxton Lynch said, hey, when CJ's out there, it's like another quarterback on the field, and you can see that comfort between the two, and Paxton has learned, hey, I can lean on CJ to help me with some of those checks and calls, and it was something, you know, you go back to when Peyton Manning and CJ Anderson worked together, and CJ would ask Peyton about all the things that Peyton saw, in part so CJ could help Peyton along, and Peyton could help CJ along, and so now some of that knowledge is being passed along to Paxton Lynch, and it's helping him out.
He's definitely another quarterback back there in the backfield. As we head into the weekend, though, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, things are going to change a little bit. What's going to be key for these two guys as we head towards the weekend? Because the pads are coming soon.
Yeah, it's consistency, especially for Paxton Lynch. We've seen him put together a good day here, a good day there. You want to see him put together multiple good days. Trevor Siemian, one of the reasons that he got the job last year was that he was able to string together consecutive solid days of practice. That is what helped distinguish him in the race against Mark Sanchez last year. Now you want to see Paxton Lynch string together those consecutive good days. If he can do that, then I think that's going to allow Paxton Lynch to get a foothold in this race and can really make it competitive right on through August, and may make for a tough decision down the line.
If you want to hear more Mace, you're going to be on the radio every single day.
Yeah, Orange and Blue 760 goes on the air today. Of course, it started with Andy Lindahl and Tyler Palumbus at 7 a.m. this morning. Broncos and NFL talk all day, every day, throughout the year. I'll be on from 3 to 7 p.m., and the 6 to 7 p.m. hour in particular, I'll be answering your questions. The Mason's Mailbag segment, you're familiar with it on DenverBroncos.com. Now it's going to be 5 days a week, so stay tuned. Plenty to come there.
Inside the Broncos, every single day for training camp, the Orange and Blue Radio, 760 a.m., and the iHeart Media app. Be sure to check it out every single day. Back now with Phil Milani. And Phil, let's look ahead to day two, okay? Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, roles are going to be reversed. Tomorrow, Paxton's going to be with the first team. Trevor, still going to get some first team opportunities, but not as many as number 12. What do you think about their setup for tomorrow? And the length of practice also going to be different tomorrow.
Yeah, the practice was cut short about an hour and a half today. I bet they're going to go a little bit longer tomorrow. Maybe mix it up, not just some red zone work, but really use the whole field. And like you mentioned, Paxton Lynch will be get the first opportunity to go with those first teamers. But like today, I think the reps will be split throughout. What I'm interested to see is, you know, Aqib Talib said that the defense won today. I wonder if the offense is going to come back tomorrow and show some of that competitive spirit. But you think about a guy like Garrett Bowles out there today going against Von Miller. That is a tough assignment for your first training camp practice ever. So maybe they'll come back tomorrow, pieces fit together a little bit more, and we'll see more out of those quarterbacks and the entire offense as in general.
How do you feel going into day two? You feel like you knocked off the rust?
No rust here. I was ready to go today, so I was waiting for today.
Perfect. Well, we will see everybody tomorrow for day two of training camp, same time. Be sure to check out all of our coverage on DenverBroncos.com as well. But for Phil Milani, Andrew Mason, Steve Atwater, I am Matt Boyer. We will see you tomorrow, but we leave you with the best sights and sounds of training camp.